Welcome to the Pretty Powerful Podcast, where powerful women are interviewed every week to share real inspiring stories and incredible insight to help women or anyone break the barriers, be a part of innovation, shatter the glass ceiling, and dominate to the top of their sport, industry, or life's mission. Join us as we celebrate exceptional women and step into our power. And now, here's your host, Angela Gennari.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Pretty Powerful Podcast. My name is Angela Gennari, and I am here with Lindy Nowak. Thank you so much for joining us, Lindy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So I want to introduce Lindy because she's going to bring a lot of value to our audience today, talking about marketing, branding, advertising, websites, and being a woman-owned business in a tech space. So Lindy Nowak spent 12 years as a creative director for large brands, including L'Oreal and Women's Health Magazine. Today, she is the founder of Up in a Day Websites, which helps small business owners get great websites built quickly with a process that requires little to no effort from them. That's amazing. So I love the idea of building a quick website because I thought I would teach myself how to build websites and it's not intuitive at all. It was really hard. So learn my lesson, outsource that. It's a better use of time and money. So tell me what got you started. First, let's kind of start from the beginning. What took you to New York?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I graduated from Michigan State University. Uh-huh. I graduated with a graphic design and a communications degree.
Okay.
With a focus on advertising. And I was just this small town girl from Michigan and had this dream of the big city. Chicago mm-hmm. was 2 hours away from us. So it just kind of, you know, riding the wave. I had a friend who graduated a year before me. She was in New York. She had an internship. She was leaving. And I took over her internship. And I think I left for New York 3 days after I graduated from college and just got put in the nitty gritty. I was just like, whoa, here I am.
Yeah.
I remember, I think I moved to New York with $800 in my pocket.
Wow. Like you can barely buy lunch for $800 in New York. Like totally. It's a little exaggeration, but not much.
And I remember I lived in one of those train style apartments and oh my gosh. But I lived there like forever with a bunch of roommates that I just love. So I got lucky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just, you know, fell into the grind.
I love it. That's fantastic. So then you get these amazing jobs with Women's Health Magazine and L'Oreal. And, you know, how does that go? And what was that like being so young in New York City, working for these large brands? Did you feel the pressure?
Oh, absolutely. That is such a great question. And I'm so happy to answer that.
Yeah.
When I was at my internship, I was working very hard. It was one of those, like, you know, they'll work you to the bone if you agree to, right? There's no stopping point.
Right.
But I learned a ton. I learned a really great work ethic. I honed in on my graphic design skills, started getting into the marketing side of things. We, at the agency, I was working on developing packaging design for Modern Organic Products and Crew meant the men's shampoo. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Something like that.
Oh my gosh. And it's like so popular. Sorry, everybody. You know what I mean? Okay. Doesn't matter. So I was there and I started working with a recruiting agency and they found a L'Oreal position and I moved in right into L'Oreal to a big design team. And I will say, I was there for 4 years. And after year two, I was getting really tired. It was the environment there was just not an environment that I was used to. Right. The culture was not very welcoming and inspiring. And we worked around the clock. And that's all I did was work. Mm-hmm. And I got so into it that it just really kind of just like beat me down.
Yeah.
And finally, after my fourth year, my parents called me on the phone and they said, kid, you need to pack your bags and moved to Brazil.
Wow.
I always had this, Brazil just inspires me. And I always had an aspiration to travel there and just just see it and feel it. 6 months later, I was gone. Is it like they put the nugget in your head and then it's kind of back there? Because I remember when they told me, I was like, oh yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah,
sure. Thinking about it, I had a couple girlfriends at L'Oreal who were Brazilian and I kind of put it in their ear and they were just like, yes, Lindy, oh my gosh, you have to move to Florianopolis and Rio and it is so you. And there you go. And I packed a big backpack.
Yeah.
Didn't know how long I was going to be gone for. Took my savings. Said goodbye to my family, got on a plane and ended up in the middle of the night in Florianopolis, which is in southern Brazil.
Wow.
Living in a hostel. Anyway, so I traveled everywhere around Brazil and I just thrived. It was just like a new me. It's almost like I let go of everything and just rode the wave and just the culture and the language and the people. It just spoke to me and I became like a really quiet person. And I kind of came back to like who I am, like, you know, from, I don't know, as a child, if you will.
Right.
And I ran out of money and I got really sad and I had to move home.
Right.
And I remember I cried all the way home to, my parents live just outside of Miami. And I was just like, I'm going to live in Rio for the rest of my life. And 3 months later, I had 3 job offers and I moved back and I worked in Rio for a year and a half. And it was super fun. I worked for a small agency that did great work, graphic design. And then I moved back to New York for whatever reason. I just was like missing it, I guess. But I was also a different person at that time. I was way more confident, way more like nothing can hit me. Just bring it on. I've seen, I've seen it all. And I ended up in publishing and that's when my career really thrived. And I think because of the publishing, that's why I am now an entrepreneur and a woman founder.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked in the sales and marketing departments, I started at Bon Appetit magazine. And then I went to Entertainment Weekly, which was a riot.
Yeah.
RIP. They're not really around anymore. and then Women's Health Magazine. And the cool thing about working in publishing, even now, even, you know, print I know is on its way out, but there's still such a huge digital presence. And my role was as a creative director was more of a marketing role. And so it was really like 360 thinking for partnerships and sponsorships, advertisers, and thinking of different platforms that we could, you know, partner with them on. So it was events, it was in-book, it was their, you know, their own websites, it was, you name it, we were selling it. So so much fun, great people. And while I was at Women's Health, my boyfriend and I got an opportunity to move to Miami. He did, really.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got here, I was searching around for a creative director position and they just didn't exist here unless I spoke Spanish like 100% and I don't.
Right.
And I don't think Portuguese will get me very far.
Yeah.
so I started a little mini agency and I called it Lino Creative and we started doing really, really well. I had everybody on 1099s and we did branding. We did the whole spiel, websites, like in Shopify, Squarespace, but it wasn't, even though we were doing really well, it wasn't as fulfilling as I thought. And what was happening at the same time was that we were getting small business owners coming to us as referrals, desperate for a really great website yesterday.
Yeah.
And for, you know, on budget, like for one certain fee.
Right.
And we just didn't have it built in our margins and it kept happening. And then at the same time, I'm like, you know, I've always dreamt of creating a productized service, something that's like new to market that truly, truly helps solopreneurs and small business owners. Like why do all of these small business owners have such bad websites?
Yeah.
They're either they get burned with an agency that delivered something that doesn't work for their business.
Yep.
They got burned with an agency that never finished a site and disappeared.
Yep.
Or they built it themselves or had their son or daughter build their website. And then it takes forever.
Yep.
It takes weeks and months and months and months. And for small business owners and in most service-based areas, you or verticals, I should say, you typically, you just need a really great, simple website. And that's what I set out to create. And that's how Up in a Day was born. And I remember when I thought about it and people asked me, how'd you come up with Up in a Day?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was sitting in my office with my boyfriend and I'm like, I got it. I know what I'm going to do. We're going to build websites in Squarespace and we're going to do it in a day. It's so easy. We're already building these sites like
right.
left and right. And why not just, you know, create a scope that makes sense for small business owners in certain industries.
Right.
And we do it in a day. I mean, we can literally get these up in a day. And my boyfriend goes, up in a day.
That's fantastic.
Here we are.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a great idea because you're right. I mean, part of what we struggle with as small businesses is finding the time to devote to stuff like that. Like even when vendors call me, you know, there was recently a payroll vendor and it's like, okay, well, it's great that you want us to switch over. And while your product sounds great, I don't have the time and the bandwidth to deal with that. And so Up in a Day makes so much sense because it's like, I can set aside a day. What I can't do is set aside several days and multiple hours and many reports. And like, that's just too much, right? And so I keep saying, like, I have a whole company to run right now. And so I'm not a web designer, right? So I love the concept. I think what you're doing is genius. I think that's amazing.
Thank you so much. It's very rewarding because All of our websites are built for the marketing and sales goals of our clients. So we'll work with coaches, consultants, restaurants, CPAs, bookkeepers. And so what we do during our onboarding process is we ask them very specific questions about their business so that we have a really deep understanding of exactly who they are, who their ideal clientele is, who are they looking to go after outside of that, if any, where is the business struggling? Where do they see themselves in 6 months? Where do you see yourself in a year? So it's really those like kind of marketing techniques that really get people thinking like, wow. And then we take that information and we gather the copy and the content or in the brand assets, and we create a framework that is built for conversions for all of these businesses. And they're just simple websites up to 5 pages, but some people just need a little bit of content. Other people need a lot of content, whatever it is. Right. We have a process that once we do that intake, they can sit back and relax and go focus on their business, whether they're working on it, in it, both, leave the website to us. And I'm not really pitching. It's just, I'm like thinking about like when I was starting Up in a Day, it was really difficult. The business model took me about a year.
Yeah.
And it's, I remember I had to talk to myself about it. Like, how do I talk about the business? Like, who is it really for? Like, how can I relieve the pain of these small business owners to help them not have to put a lot of time, money, and effort into getting their website done and the stress and the headache? Like, you shouldn't have to also be working on your website where let's say somebody is building it for you. Right. And you're constantly having to manage that agency, ask them for changes, make the revisions and then review it again. Like it that can be very daunting. And a lot of times when we think about that, the time, money, and effort in getting a website, let's call it redesign that you already have.
Right.
You put it in the back burner because you don't even want to think about it.
Right. Absolutely. So when you're starting this business, I know that you've probably faced multiple challenges in getting it up and running. Because like you were saying, it took a year to really develop the concept because everybody thinks, you know, small businesses, they look at the results. They don't look at the effort that you put into those results, right? And so that's the hardest part, really. It's just, you know, establishing it. And then what's inevitably going to happen is you're going to fail a little bit. You're going to figure out, oh, okay, that doesn't work. How do I change my methodology here? Because if I continue down that path, I won't have a business, right? And so being a small business owner, it's all about being able to pivot and listen to the market. So like what you were saying about, you know, you had a creative agency and you started realizing I'm not listening to the market. If I were to listen to the market, it would drive me into a different industry. And it did, right? And it's something very similar happened with my company. I started my company as a meeting management company, meeting and event management. And I thought, I'm just going to start this little staffing component because I think the staffing component will help me in my business. And then in order to sustain that staffing component, I had to start outsourcing a little bit, which meant, you know, that grew. And so, you know, the staffing really is what grew because, you know, meeting and event managers, there's a lot of them out there and it's hard to really differentiate yourself. But for staffing, that was what the market kept leading me towards. And so I listened to the market. Had I said, nope, we're going to keep that as 10%, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are today. But you did the same thing. You listened to the market.
Yes, absolutely. That's such a great story. And part of listening to the market and being able to pivot like that or add on takes a lot of confidence and a lot of like believing in yourself and listening to your gut and just going for it and trying not to listen to the noise around you. Mm-hmm. And I went through the same thing. And you know, the hurdles along the way, I guess I would say the first hurdle I had was I ran before I walked. I thought that everyone was just going to come flooding in the doors because everybody needs a great website.
Right. No. If you build it, they will come.
Right? Yes. Oh, not even close. Mm-hmm. I put money in advertising. Yeah. We ran NPR ads, which was super cool. But again, didn't no ROI on that. Except for my like, we're on the radio.
So yeah. NPR.
Exactly. No. Mm-hmm. And then you have to find what's your sweet spot, your marketing channel. And you can listen to all of the webinars and read the books listening to your gut, testing, failing, testing, winning, getting something in the middle, like deciding how much money and effort you want to put behind it. Maybe it's no money. And yeah, we found that we love LinkedIn. That's where the business owners are.
Yep.
And we love, now it's, well, now we're to a point, I mean, knock on wood, but it's becoming a referral business. I mean, isn't that what it all becomes, which is amazing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so when I step back to what I was saying about running before I was walking, I was like, oh yeah, like all these referrals. And I was reaching out to my network and it was crickets. I remember the first month we sold 4 websites, which was like, what? And we had a really low price point. And you realize you're
making like $1.70 an hour. Yes, I know. Yeah. I've been there.
And then, you know, business evolves. And the more it evolves, the better you get. And the better you get, the better your staff gets. Mm-hmm. You know, training systems, protocols, vision, mission, making sure everybody's on board. You know, hiring people that are experts in what you do, but can maybe do it a little bit better. Sure. And the quality of our websites mixed with, I know this is like kind of cliche, but like the customer service is true. And it really, and putting all like hundreds of websites behind us, that's when you're like, okay, now we understand our market. We have confidence to go after new markets. The value that we provide is like, I'm even like, wow, our websites are amazing. And when we review with our clients for the first time, because we'll build the whole site first and then review with them. It's so cool. It's like the HGTV of websites. So people just get so excited. And I would say that's the most rewarding part about being the owner of Up in a Day. And something that I did not anticipate. I thought when I started the company, I thought it was more like, yes, the value we provide and making people happy, but my life is going to be much easier too.
Right.
But it's not about that. I mean, it's about being very cognizant and aware and present about you and having the self-care and like, okay, is this making sure this week, is this right? Does this feel good? Are you happy? Are you sleeping?
Right.
And luckily I did learn that along the way, I would say, just like, you know, reading books and talking to people. But when I started Up in a Day, I was like not sleeping at night. I was
worried. Yeah.
you know, I was bootstrapping it, meaning I didn't get funding. I was putting my own money behind it, but also like shifting between Up in a Day and the other digital marketing agency. And when you're pivoting your business, when do you let go of what you were doing and go full throttle into the new business?
That's the scariest part to me is, you know, is leaving behind what you thought it was going to be and having the courage to turn around and say, okay, I'm going all in. I'm going all in on this other idea, even though it wasn't the initial idea. You know, I look at my business plan now. And, you know, from 2015, when I started the business, it's laughable. It's laughable what I thought I would be doing in 5 years, you know, but if I had stuck to the business plan, I would have been, you know, fractionally as successful as we are now. And it comes down to just, you know, paying attention, being courageous and making those moves when, you know, even before you're ready. You have to make the move before you're ready, because if you wait until you're ready, you've probably missed it.
I agree. Do you often go back to your business plan and reference it and make sure you're on target? Or do you just kind of, I wrote the business plan, I know what it is, but now I'm just going, I have a path, but I don't want to, like you said, you don't want to stick like wholeheartedly to that plan. So right. Do you ever go back and say, okay, I'm on track? Or do you just kind of let the world happen?
Absolutely not. Grow? Absolutely not. I never go back to the business plan, because you learn and you develop along the way. And so had I had all the knowledge when I wrote that business plan, it would be a different story. But what I've learned since then, there's no substitute for it. So what I do instead is every year there's only certain things that I make sure we're on track with. And those are our corporate values, you know, the respect, integrity, professionalism, and pride. Like, are we on track? And does everything that we're doing align with those? And if they don't, then maybe we need to rethink it. But other than that, we do an annual meeting. You know, we will meet annually and say, what are our goals for this year? What did we accomplish last year? Where do we see ourselves going? Because I feel like if I were to look back at 2015, first of all, the whole world changed for us in 2020. So we don't even do business the same anymore. But I think if you get too focused on what you had planned from day one, you might miss out on opportunities that you didn't know about them.
I agree. Yeah, that's, well, we're the same way. We focus on our mission and our values, especially the values. They're so important. And I'm happy to say that our values haven't changed since day one.
That's good. That's awesome.
Is always have fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
It's all about having fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because you say that, because we actually had three values. We had three core values when we first started, and that was professionalism, integrity, and respect. And about a few years into the business, our employees actually came to us and said, you know, we want to add a value. We want to add pride, because there's a lot to say when we're on site and we feel proud to be a Titan versus, you know, whatever other companies are around. Like, we're proud to represent who we represent. And so we added that in as a fourth value about 2 years out, you know, into our business, which was really cool because it came from our employees and not from me. So that was good.
That's amazing. That reflects so highly on you. That must have felt so good.
Absolutely. Well, and it makes me happy that, you know, they feel so invested into what we're doing, because we are really trying to be different and, you know, just going about it in a way that, you know, we're not looking at what other people are doing. We're looking at what we're doing and how we can improve on what we're doing. And I think that's our barometer. That's not, you know, we don't look at, well, the competition's doing this, we need to do that. No, that's not really our goalpost. So we try to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah, same here. Again, going back to what the market is asking for and what your clientele is asking for, it's the same way here.
Absolutely.
The way we learn, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true. I mean, we learn who we love working with and who Up in a Day is great for by sometimes falling out of scope or by miscommunication, like all of these things that we're still learning. Cause we're 2.5 years in only. So we're young.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, learning, pivoting, fixing. So it's fun, but that it can be stressful too. But because as a manager myself, I have to make sure that the designers are in a good place and that they're not feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Typically, creators, graphic designers, they're can be, not everybody, so I don't want to speak for everyone, but more insular. I know I was. I don't learn how to just like talk about myself when I started. So they tend to feel overwhelmed quickly, especially as graphic designers, they're artists. So, you know, artists are like free flowing and they have their, they take their time and they want, they live their life the way they want to live it. And so they don't like being told what to do typically. So when you get into the graphic design world and you get, you get designers who are kind of being briefed and they're told what to do. So I don't want that to be a part of Up in a Day. Yeah, I want them to feel, although like we have the framework, freedom to feel creative and to allow themselves to have fun with the websites and not feel so like it has to be this way. And then I have to do this. And like, what's so fun about that? And that's the value of fun. Yeah. So we actually, I created values for the company, which is like, keep the machine running, and then values for the staff and then values for our customers. I know it's like a lot of values, but for now it's working.
Well, that's great. And again, you know, once you figure out if it's not, then you pivot. And so that's the beauty about, that's the beauty of having a small business. And, you know, once you are a huge company, pivoting is like trying to turn a cruise ship, right? So you, you no longer can do that. We're in speedboats right now. So that's okay. We can turn however we want. So, and we figure out what works and what doesn't. And, you know, typically the one thing that's nice about being a smaller business is that you're not investing so much money. You don't have hundreds of millions of dollars in an idea, you know, like Meta, that doesn't work.
Nice.
And you realize, oh, wait, this may not be the best idea that ever existed. But anyway, so so tell me, what inspires you?
Oh, environment. I know people who are watching video, I know that is a real background, but truly the ocean and the beach. Yeah. Forests. I love being outdoors. It is my, my space. Like, I own a company that makes, that builds websites and that's all done inside. I know. But just being outside, nature, travel. Oh my gosh. I'm a huge traveler. I have not been able to travel in a couple of years now and I'm just chomping at the bit, as you
I bet. Well, after living in Brazil and you know, that's amazing. It's such a cool thing to do. I definitely wish I would have done that when I was younger, for
It was all my mom. I wouldn't have done it if she didn't say pack your it was a swear word, if you know. And I said bags and get your butt to Brazil. Like, like, yeah, right, guys.
I love it. All right. Awesome. So, so tell me, you know, being a woman in the, you know, website space, is that unusual or do you have like, what is that makeup like and how different is it for you competing in that space? In the technology design?
From what I hear, from what I know, from what people tell me, from the research that I do, it is rare.
Really?
Typically, website agencies, well, they have digital marketing as well, but if it's like just a website agency, it's typically male driven. And I didn't realize that coming into the space. Now, we don't build like complex websites. Again, we're building simple websites and we're using Squarespace because in the days of like, I want it and I want it now, and it's available to, they just have a like websites, a website that builds websites. Like we just happen to be experts in Squarespace. So, you know, so in that sense, it is like, I am a woman in tech and I talk about myself in that sense. So it's interesting being in Miami. It's a huge tech hub as, most of you probably know. And when I started Up in a Day, I started joining all of these tech, the tech community. There are all kinds of shapes and colors of different kind of membership or free kind of groups that you can join. And there's a lot of, you know, partnering and mentoring and just getting together for happy hours. So learning that space, getting into that space was really like intimidating for me because you go there and it's mostly men. But what was happening in 2020, 2021, is that we started building these relationships between the tech community of just women, from Web3 to just general women in tech, from women just starting their careers in, let's say, coding, to women who are running, were working for a large startup, for example, and they were kind of like in the managerial level and they couldn't break out of that. And so they left. So it's really inspiring now. Now I'm part of this network of, oh my gosh, I think there are 150 of us that get together once a month and we talk tech. And that's super cool. It's a happy hour, of course.
Yes.
So it's great to be part of that community. I know I'm kind of rambling now.
I hope
I answered your question, but the answer is yes. It was intimidating at first, but now I'm owning it. Bring it on. I love saying, I am a woman in tech and I started this company and we are out to help people. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. I love it. So tell me, okay, so I always ask this question and to me it's fascinating, but as women, we often give our power away, you know, whether that's taking criticism or, you know, allowing somebody to take credit for our work or whatever it is. So can you tell me about a time that maybe you gave your power away and then another time that maybe you stepped back into your power?
All the time in corporate.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
Oh my gosh, it was the worst. Mm-hmm. And it just it just made me so not confident. I guess I'll give you an example here. Oh my gosh. I was at L'Oreal. There was a counterpart I was an art director and I had a counterpart who was a male and he always got praised. He got raises above me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bigger team and it just made me so sour. I just couldn't believe it. I didn't know that was like that in the workplace. So I was always the bottom of the totem pole. And we even had a creative director that would come in and tell us that we were. So we just had to kind of buck up and just do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously corporate is not for me. I always felt like I couldn't express myself. I had so much more value to give.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted more than just to sit behind a computer and draw all day. I'm graphics. I know I'm making it simplified, but I wanted to be making decisions. I wanted to create ideas and be part of the marketing team.
Mm-hmm. And right.
For years, I didn't have that. I mean, luckily Brazil happened because of that. And so I'm not dissing it at all. I think it all happens for a reason. But that was going on for many, many years. And now that I'm a founder and entrepreneur, when I started the company, I think that past really affected me because I had to do a lot of self-care and I had to hire a coach that had to teach me how to talk about myself and how to talk about up in a day.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard, isn't it? Because I think we deal with imposter syndrome a lot because we've been taught that number one, you can't say anything nice about yourself because then you sound you're egotistical and you can't, promote your own accomplishments because, then that would be, that's not okay either. And so as women, we're taught to be very different than men. You know, when we go into a room, we're less likely to boast about what we're doing, and they are. And so when they do it and we sit quiet, their accomplishments are recognized and ours are not. And so even though we think it's coming from a good place, it really is, it's holding us back. It's holding us back from being able to make those leaps and bounds into, upper management, not just middle management. So it is a big difference.
It is. Now that I am, I guess I could say I feel free to talk about myself, my accomplishments, my business, that I own it in a way, very clear and confident way now. And a lot of that stems from hosting webinars, practicing, going through hundreds and hundreds of clients, losing and winning. And I will say the way I am now even affects my relationships in a positive way.
Right.
Like, with my personal relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm much more confident. I can stand up for myself. I can speak freely. I don't feel like I'm going to be judged. Like that's really important. I don't think, you know, you don't need to be a business owner to go through that, but it's something that I did not anticipate and that I'm so thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you. So tell me, what advice would you give to your 18-year-old self? Go to Brazil earlier.
Yeah. 18. Oh my gosh. Not to be so hard on myself, to let go and ride the wave and be happy and be yourself.
That's great advice. I love that. All right. And I've really enjoyed this. This has been such a fun conversation. I've really enjoyed talking with you, but I have one last question. What do you wish more people knew?
I wish more people knew to live in the present and not worry, not live in the past, to know that the energy is going to take care of you if you can put it out in the positive way and not to be scared.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Definitely. I like that. That's really cool. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Lindy. This has been such a great conversation. I have really, really learned so much and enjoyed this. And I know our audience has too. So thank you so, so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun.
Absolutely. So you can find Lindy Nowak at Up in a Day websites, or you can go to our website at prettypowerfulpodcast.com, and you can find all of her links and her information as well. So thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for joining our guests on the Pretty Powerful Podcast, and we hope you've gained new insight and learned from exceptional women. Remember to subscribe or check out this and all episodes on prettypowerfulpodcast.com. Visit us next time, and until then, step into your own power.